From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
But it's War of Will coming down to the 16th pole in front. In front by 2 lengths late. A late charge from Longshot Everfast in the inside two, but nothing stood in his way. War of Will won the Preakness.
Bricks and Mortar bumps with March to the Arch, nonetheless closing in with 2.5 lengths to make up at a 16th to go. It's Curbon in front, Clyde's Image. Bricks and Mortar finding stride late in the game, and Bricks and Mortar's up in time.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Tacitus is closing through an opening down toward the rail, into the final 16th. It is Tex in front. Tacitus on the inside is second. He's trying to come and get Tex. The Ortiz brothers, Tex on the outside. Tacitus at the rail. And it is Tex and around Ortiz in the Jim Dandy.
And Vino Rosso edging away from Gift Box. He's coming into his own. And Vino Rosso at age 4 goes on to win the Gold Cup at Santa Anita.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here in the month of August. Happy to have you on board. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, reunited again in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios, and happy to be back with HRN Nation for the next couple of hours as we get set for the 150th running of the Midsummer Derby later this afternoon at the Spa, Saratoga, in upstate New York. Should be a good one. 12 horses set to go postward in the Traverse Stakes, and with just 69 days, 5 hours, and 35 minutes until the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Santa Anita in Arcadia, California, you better believe that the stakes are high on that program in Saratoga later this afternoon. Good morning, JT.
Good morning. It's Traverse Day. What everybody's been looking forward to, all of Saratoga. This is the signature race and the signature day, and what a nice card they put together.
Oh, yeah, the entire program is Breeders' Cup quality type of event, and you know, Breeders' Cup implications, of course, with the win in your ends, that goes without saying, but there are horses competing in the races that aren't winning your ends that have their eyes and their sights set on the Breeders' Cup, and that's what makes this day so exciting. And then you throw in the big fields and the quality of competition, and the fact that it's at Saratoga makes it even more special.
Yeah, well, it's it's the biggest race of the summer, arguably. The Haskell always is entertaining, but the Traverse is the one that everybody wants to win. Even the horses that run in the Haskell would like to win the Traverse
yeah.
too.
Yeah,
so, it's a big deal. It's a historic race. It's a really big event for the three-year-olds. And I posted yesterday on Twitter a real cool picture of Jim Dandy winning the Traverse, which is kind of
cool.
In 1930, that was. There's a lot of history. Any race at Saratoga really has significant history for the most part. And I think the Traverse is one of those races that people remember. You know, where were you? what was your favorite Traverse? All of those questions, you know, come to mind.
Yeah, we talk about this every year on this day, but that was the race that really got me hooked on horse racing when Easy Goer won in 1989. And I was sitting at the picnic tables at the top of the stretch at Saratoga. We're going to be joined by Easy Goer's Hall of Fame trainer, Shug McGahee, coming up later in the program. We'll talk to him about Easy Goer and was it Rhythm was his second one? And then was it Coronado's Quest, I guess, was his third Traverse winner.
That's a horse that name out of the past. I haven't heard that name in a while.
Yeah. All three for Shug, and he's looking for four with Code of Honor later today. And look, he's 4-1 on the morning line, second choice behind Tacitus. He's a major player in there.
Absolutely. And, he's training great. He looks good, but we'll hear from Shug. You don't need to listen to me about that.
we'll hear it in Shug's own words.
yeah. It's much, much better to hear it from the horse's mouth instead of the horse's ass. But anyway, people ask me, what's the greatest race you ever saw? And I always tell them, Arrogate's Traverse. You know, and for me, I don't know if anybody's ever going to surpass that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that horse just ran off the page
yeah.
that day. So, you know, it's one of those races where people remember who won. People remember, you know, a specific day or you know, whether they won or lost or whatever it is. But Traverse Day is a big day.
I'm glad you bring up Arrowgate because he does hold the record for the fastest running of the Traverse Stakes in history. A couple of years ago, he was owned by Judmont Farms, and Judmont also owners of Tacitus, who is the favorite for this year's Traverse Stakes later today. And we're going to be joined at right around 9:40 Eastern by Garrett O'Rourke, who is the manager of Judmont, the racing manager as well. And we'll talk to him about Tacitus and how he's coming into the race. And we'll look back on that performance by Arrowgate with him and see what comes to mind when we mention the name Arrowgate. We'd love to hear from Garrett and get his thoughts on the great Arrowgate.
Yeah, well, it'd be interesting to follow up and see how he's doing at stud and what kind of mares he's getting and all that stuff. So, tremendous racehorse, really.
We need to do it. You know, we launched those Horse Week series here on the network, and we kicked it off with Commentator Week leading into the Whitney. We're looking at some other weeks coming up, which are going to be presented by our friends at Red Brand Fence, Silver Charm Week, Game on Dude Week, Beholder Week, for example, all of those coming up later this fall. But it would be cool to do an Arrowgate Week, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was just a very special horse and some unique performances. You know, you're never going to forget his Dubai World Cup either when he got left.
I'm so glad, too, that you brought up the Haskell a short time ago because that, to me, that Haskell, Maximum Security winning the race and then not coming to the Travers, right? He had a choice. He could go here, go to the Pennsylvania Derby. War of Will, the Preakness winner, same thing. He could have gone here. He opts for the Pennsylvania Derby. We're going to get a great showdown between War of Will, Maximum Security. Unfortunately, it won't be in the Midsummer Derby, but we'll see that in Pennsylvania here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, that's become a very good race, and I think the extra time that some of the horses need from competing in the Triple Crown, I think that gives it a little bit of an extra edge when it comes to trainers planning for what they want to do with their horses.
So here's what's ahead over the course of the next 2 hours. We're going to come back after our first break, just about 8:15 Eastern time. We'll be joined by the Big A, Anthony Stabile, who is going to anchor our coverage of the Travers Stakes later this afternoon. 3:00 Eastern is when we hit the airwaves. You can tune in to all of that Travers Stakes coverage, 3 to 6 Eastern time, Sirius XM 156, and of course, streaming worldwide on our website and on terrestrial affiliates across the country. We'll encourage you to head over to horseracingradio.net to see all that broadcast information later this afternoon. But again, 3 to 6 Eastern coverage includes the Travers and the Personal Ensign and the Sword Dancer and the Forgo. Just a loaded broadcast, and Anthony and Mike Beer will handle the duties live from Saratoga later this afternoon. We're going to be joined by Hall of Famer Shug McGahey, as I mentioned. He'll be with us at 8:35 Eastern time. Tim Wilkin from the Albany Times-Union will make his usual Travers morning appearance here on the show. He'll be with us at 9 o'clock, and Garrett O'Rourke from Judmont right about 9:40. And sandwiched in between all of that, our Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris, our Philly Focus segment, where Jude and I will talk about the Grade 1 Personal Ensign today. That segment is presented by Pat Costello and Paramount Sales, and then our Four Roses Bourbon visit with Brent Elliott, who is the master distiller at that great bourbon facility in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky.
Yeah, the Personal Ensign is quite a matchup. Midnight Bisou has a legion of fans. Elate has a legion of fans. So they're going to be squaring off. I'd love to see a Peb cartoon, you know, of those two, what he would have come up with. It would have been boxing gloves.
I really want to see Midnight Bisou run well. Obviously, our good friend, our colleague here on the network, Jeff Bloom and Bloom Racing, the owner of Midnight Bisou, you want to see her get it done in the Personal Ensign later today. She doesn't certainly have to win this race to go to the Breeders' Cup. She's already qualified, and if she were to run second or third, it is what it is. You just move on to the next stop, and their ultimate goal is the Breeders' Cup in November. I wouldn't be shocked if she loses that race today. And I'll tell you why in the second hour when we get to the Personal Ensign. I'll tell you why. But it wouldn't shock me a bit if she gets beat, and I have a pretty good reason for that I'll share later in the show.
All right. Sounds good. I think you and I might be on the same page.
Yeah. All right. Poll question for this morning. You can weigh in at HRRN on Twitter or Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Is quite simple. Who wins the 150th running of the Travers Stakes later this afternoon. Who wins the Travers? We'll give you four choices. We'll make it easy. Tacitus, the morning line favorite. Code of Honor, second choice. Tax, or the fourth category will be Other. And if you do think that somebody else is laying in the weeds waiting to upset the Travers later today, let us know who it is if you pick Other. So Tacitus, Code of Honor, Tax, or Other in today's Travers Stakes. I'll give you somebody who would be good in that other category, JT. Dale Romans. Sitting there just like he was with Keen Ice. He's off the Triple Crown winner.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. He like lays in the weeds like a big largemouth bass.
Yeah, just waiting to strike, right? There's something here today that just I get the feeling that we're going to see a big price in today's Travers.
No, then you should be betting the pick four with all you got.
I think so. I think I just get that. Look, I mean, I have handicapped it. I've looked at it, and yeah, the logical horses stand out, but there's a feeling. It's a gut feeling that tells me something is going to happen today, and we're going to have a big price in the Travers. It's been that kind of year in this 3-year-old division.
Yeah, they really have mixed it up, and this race, as you mentioned, lost a little bit of luster when Maximum Security decided to go to Pennsylvania, and we've had some horses fall by the wayside with injuries and illnesses and stuff. But it's still a very good betting race. There's a lot of opportunities there, and as you talk to people, as you read articles, as you listen to what people have to say on their podcasts and whatever, it's amazing how many different horses you can come up with. Everybody seems to have their own idea, and it's a really good race.
Post time for the Travers, 5:44 Eastern. Again, our coverage, 3 to 6 Eastern time, SiriusXM 156 is where you can find that coverage later this afternoon if you're driving around or working on the farm or you just want to Bluetooth us and listen anywhere you might be. SiriusXM 156 and streaming at horseracingradio.net. We'll get to a break. We'll come back and talk about the entire program today at Saratoga. We'll do that with the Big A, Anthony Stabile. That's next on the Equine Forum on HRRN, all presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust Keep Safe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about Keep Safe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Brody's Cause, a grade one winner at 2 and 3 by Giants Causeway.
Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery, a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
His final time of 143.27 in Keeneland's Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity is the fastest running on dirt since 2000, while defeating Grade 1 winner, Exaggerator. Look for his first crop yearling selling this summer. Brody's Cause, standing at Spendthrift.
The Maryland thoroughbred industry. For over 200 years, the innovative leader. Maryland was the first to have organized racing in North America and the first to establish a state breeders association. Maryland created the first thoroughbred yearling show, the first state magazine, the first state breeder incentive development program, the first international race to feature horses from four continents, and the first $1 million one-day stallion stakes event. The Maryland thoroughbred industry is the innovative leader.
Hi, I'm Leah Jarmati, and I love listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Three quarters, 112.43, and they're into the stretch, and it's Tex in front. Global Campaign, War of Will on the inside. Tacitus is closing through an opening down toward the rail into the final 16th. It is Tex in front. Tacitus on the inside is second. He's trying to come and get Tex. The Ortiz brothers, Tex on the outside. Tacitus at the rail. And it is Tex and around Ortiz in the Jim Dandy. Tacitus was second, and then it was Global Campaign, Laughing Fox, and War of Will, and a final time of 149.28.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. That was Larry Colmus with the call of the Jim Dandy earlier this meet at Saratoga. Tax holding off Tacitus. They'll get a rematch later today in the 150th running of the Midsummer Derby. It's a program that features a slew of greatest stakes races in consecutive order, too, which is going to make it really fun. The first of the greatest stakes comes your way in race number 5. That's the Grade 1 Forgo, and it just continues all the way throughout the day through the Traverse Stakes, which is race 11 at 5:44 Eastern Time. Special first post at Saratoga today of 11:35. The gates are open. The running of the bulls has been completed, no doubt. And joining us now from Saratoga is the man who will anchor our coverage later this afternoon, beginning at 3 o'clock Eastern. That is the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Big A, happy Travers Day, my friend.
Happy Travers Day, guys. What's happening?
Things are good down here in the Bluegrass. Wish we were up there with you, though, right now.
Yeah, you really do. It's probably 65 degrees right now. It's not supposed to get beyond above 75 today. There's not a cloud in the sky. You'll appreciate this, Baron. Azure blue skies right now with some wispy treetops trying to reach out to the azure blue skies. And
Mother Nature reaching down with tender tendrils to paint the countryside.
She is. Mother Nature has her paintbrush out today, boy. It is a glorious day here.
She must be a racing fan.
You know what?
Maggio said Don was a Yankee fan. Well, Mother Nature must be a racing fan.
Well, you know, she hasn't been at many times throughout this Saratoga meet. The weather has been a little tumultuous at times, but not today. You get the great weather, which is appropriate for the signature day of racing for the entire meet. And Anthony, I mentioned all those great stakes. We'll get to the Travers in a minute, but outside of the Travers, what are a couple other races or a few other horses that you have your eye on and are looking forward to later today?
I think I love the fact that it kind of goes in distance order today. It's 3 7 furlong dirt races. Then we go a mile and a 16th on the turf. Then we go a mile and an eighth on the dirt. Then we go a mile and a half on the turf. And then we go a mile and a quarter on the dirt. So the dirt races are in order as well as the turf races. What some of these fields lack, Mike, in depth, they get the marquee, right? The Forgo kicks it off. Well, it's only a field of 6, but if you name the 5 or 4 best sprinters in the country, Promises Fulfilled and Matoli are in those top 4. So they're going to square off in a field of 6 in the Forgo. Later on, I think it's hard to not include Chancelot off of his Amsterdam win. Now, he'll stick with the 3-year-olds today in the 8 Challenge Jerkins, but it's hard not to include Chancelot in that list of top sprinters right now, a 121 buyer speed figure when he won that Amsterdam. So, again, there's a field of 9, a field of 6 in the Forgo, a field of 6 in the personal Enton. But again, Midnight Bizou's 5 for 5 on the year. But late as the summer has wore on, she started to heat up. Those two are going to knock heads. Seems like poor Elite can't get away from Mike Smith. Abel Tasman, consecutive years, some controversy here at the Spa in the 2017 CCA Oaks, last year in this race, and now he's aboard Midnight Bizou. So it's almost like round 3 of Elite versus Mike Smith here this afternoon. Sensational card. We'll have that personal incident as part of the coverage later on. That's probably the race on the undercard I'm looking forward to the most, because I'm a big Elite fan, and I think she's going to get her due and she's going to get her revenge on Midnight Bijou today.
Yeah, I think the 4-pound weight difference is very significant, and so we'll see what happens. I mean, Midnight Bijou couldn't be in any better form than she currently is, and Elate's last two races have been sparkling, so I think they're both meeting when they're at their best, and that's when you want to see the matchup, right?
Yeah, far be it for me to discuss weight when it comes to anything. But, you know, you don't see this a lot, Jude. The 4-year-old giving the 5-year-old weight.
Right.
Right? You don't see that a lot. And I think, you know, Midnight Bijou has been remarkable the last two seasons. She's looked kind of ordinary at Saratoga. I wonder if, you know, and this is a place that can be a little quirky. I wonder if maybe she doesn't love the old Spa like most of us do. I know Elate does. Her Alabama 2 years ago was sensational. Again, that Culture Club American Oaks before she won the Alabama with Abel Tasman. That was a shoving match that I think could have been a coin flip as far as the Stewart's decision. I thought she should have been put up over Abel Tasman last year. I thought she gave her a good enough hip check that it warranted a disqualification. So she's a neck ahead and two Stewart's decisions away from being 3-for-3 here Elate. I think that gives her a big edge here at Saratoga.
Yeah, interesting point. We're talking with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, who will anchor that coverage along with Daily Racing Form's Mike Beer from 3 to 6 Eastern Time this afternoon. You'll make sure you tune in on SiriusXM 156 and stream us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Anthony, the race that comes up prior to the Travers is the Sword Dancer, and that's a win in your end for the Breeders' Cup Turf. And I'm going to bring up that race for a minute, not only because it's right before the Travers, but because it's a deep field, a contentious field. I think there's a lot of ways you can go in that turf test. And this past week, we saw last year's Breeders' Cup Turf winner and Abel just looked the part over at York, and she was unbelievable in winning that Yorkshire Oaks, and looking forward to seeing her get back over here, hopefully for the Breeders' Cup and defend that title. But this Sword Dancer looks like it could go a lot of different directions.
Yeah, I think you could take the inside three horses and put an X through them. But after that, you can make a case for the other six. I'm very curious. Nobody's really talked about this. Proven Reserves being in here, I'm wondering if he's in here to ensure a quick pace for Annals of Time. You know, it's not like he's a front runner by any means, but he's a dirt horse, and he has shown some tactical speed in the past. Manny Franco's on board. Manny Franco played the role of Rabbit Rider in the Diana opening weekend aboard Thais, set it up beautifully for Sister Charlie and all the rest. I'm wondering if that's why Proven Reserves is in here, to keep a horse like Channel Cat from Todd Fletcher's barn, who kind of got away with murder on the front end last time, almost 50 at the half. I wonder if he's here to ensure a little bit of pace. He obviously helps Annals of Time's cause, but if horses are used as rabbits, they help the other closers as well. Saddler's Joy certainly would not scoff at the notion of there being a fast pace in here. Channel Maker as well. I think it would help Yaprimo. I know Jude likes Yaprimo a little bit. Yaprimo had a really kind of a weird trip in his first start in the U.S. last time. He was bottled up a little bit, and then even in the lane, he was never really able to strut his stuff and get clear. I wonder if there's a pace setter in here like Proven Reserves, if it stretches this field out a little bit and allows a horse like Yaprimo to be a little more free running. And get them more just into a little bit of a better cadence. I'm a big Annals of Time fan. The job Chad Brown's done with him, very similar to Bricks and Mortar. Bricks and Mortar was gone 15 months, and look what he's done since, 4 Grade 1, 6 in a row. This horse was gone almost 2 years and came back and won a mile and 3/16 the other day over the course. I think they're the two, with a little Channel Maker sprinkled in, because he does love the course, second in this last year. His career has kind of turned around since the Bowling Green last year, when they were a little more aggressive with him.
Yeah, I think there might be a chance that Chad's using that horse and as a pace setter, and that could help Yaprimo as well. He's a really talented horse, and I just have a gut feeling that he might be better than these horses. I don't know where that comes from. I just after analyzing the race, and I spent a lot of time on it, I just feel like maybe he has a class edge, and if he does, he's going to be pretty tough.
Yeah, I don't know what he was running against in his native Chile. But I know that he came here, and I use everything as a tool. He ran a 102 buyer in his first start in America. There are some horses in here. I mean, Annals of Time's best buyer is a 102. This horse did it first time in this country, ran a 102. So if he gets that little bit of improvement you normally expect, especially from the Chad Brown horses with a race under their belt, he's probably going to win this race today unless Annals of Time comes with a big swing at him. I think they're the two, along with Channel Maker. You can make a case for Channel Cat, for Pillar Mountain, the two from Todd Fletcher. You can make a case for Saddler's Joy. I think you can always make a case for Saddler's Joy. But I think they're the three, the six, seven, and eight. I put Annals of Time on top.
Well, Big A, our poll question today, and people are voting at HRN on Twitter, is who wins Travers 150 later this afternoon? And we gave people choices, Tacitus, Code of Honor, Tax, or Other. Right now, it's Code of Honor who has a narrow lead over Tacitus. Shug McGahee looking for a fourth victory in the race. Johnny V will be aboard. Do you agree?
I do not agree. I'm always rooting for Shug, who's won three of these, by the way, including 30 years ago, Baron, with our favorite horse, the Great Easy Goer.
Yeah.
The best three-year-old of 1989, Easy Goer.
Just a little shot at the Sunday Silence fans, of course, right?
I don't know why they exist, but yes, the best three-year-old of 1989, Easy Goer. I don't know if he wants the mile and a quarter. I'll tell you what, I think Maximum Security intimidated him a little bit in the Derby. But if you look at that race, he kind of had a clean trip up until he came back in and looked for him a little bit, Maximum Security did. But he put his head in front, and he saved all the ground while everything else was going on. I just think he flattened out a little bit that last eighth of a mile. Now, it shook. This horse has had 4 months, which is a long time. Horses can do amazing things in 4 months. He's got a good draw. He's in very capable hands once Shug gives Johnny V a leg up. He can win, and I think I put him third. It's really tough for me to see him getting the mile and a quarter.
So who does get the mile and a quarter and win the Travers today?
Despite what Anchorman fans feel, today Redemption is spelled T-A-C-I-T-U-S. And my boy Tacitus gets his first grade one. He gets his big win today, and I think he shows the world what I've been saying, and a lot of people have been saying for a while now. He's the best three-year-old of this crop. I've been saying that for a while. I truly believe that. Talked to Bill yesterday on Express Bet Radio, his Hall of Fame trainer, Bill Mott. Those blinkers have seemed to help him focus a little more. He's a horse not without speed. His two-year-old races, he was in the teeth of a pace in his debut, and he was essentially on the lead when he broke his maiden. I'm hoping he's laying fourth or fifth today. And when he makes that big run that he has at around the half-mile pole or the three-eighths pole, he just puts these away. I think we're going to see a real dominant performance from Tacitus today.
All right, well, we'll find out. 5:44 Eastern, the time of the Travers. And, of course, the coverage, as I mentioned, 3 to 6 Eastern. Anthony will be joined by Mike Beer of the Daily Racing Forum. They'll be live from the Spa later today. Big A, really appreciate the visit, my friend. Thanks for taking a little time on a busy morning for you. Enjoy Travers Day, and we'll look forward to tuning in at 3 o'clock.
You got it, guys. Have a great Travers Day.
All right, the Big A, Anthony Stabile, here on HRRN. Shug McGahee is coming up in just about 6 or 7 minutes, but it's time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty here in Lexington, Kentucky. Here's your Lexus Legends of the Turf. We're back with Shug right after this.
It was a hot, sticky day in mid-May at Pimlico. The suburban Baltimore Thoroughbred plant and a huge crowd was on hand to take in the 81st renewal of the run for the Black-Eyed Susans, the Preakness. It was 1957, and then Vice President Richard Milhouse Nixon was but one of the vast throng in attendance. Mrs. Nixon, Pat, was to present the trophy, the Woodlawn Vase, to the winning connections. There was a field of 7 3-year-olds going postward to contest the event, run over a distance of 1 3/16 miles. It figured to be a battle between three main contestants: Iron Liege, who'd won that year's edition of the Derby a couple of weeks earlier in the Spangles of Calumet Farm; Bold Ruler, who'd gone postward in the Derby as the 6-5 favorite but had run poorly; and Federal Hill, a speed horse who figured to do well on Pimlico's fast track with a sharper turns and short run to the wire. Also in the field were Inswept, who had won the Spalding Low Jenkins and the Chesapeake, both at Laurel; Promised Land, who had won the Governor's Gold Cup at Bowie and run second to Mr. Jive in the Gotham, but had finished third to both Bull Ruler and Gallant Man in the Wood Memorial at Jamaica. Nah Hiss was also in the field, but appeared overmatched, although he had won three straight allowance races; and Inside Track, who had never faced stakes horses and had been claimed for $7,500 and $12,500. One of the critical factors in the race was the post positions, and the race may very well have been won right at the break from the gate, as it turned out. The inside threesome, Inswept, Nah Hiss, and Promised Land, were notoriously slow breakers. Iron Liege had the 4-hole, Bold Ruler was 5, Inside Track at post 6, and the pure speed in the race, Federal Hill, on the extreme outside. Bull Ruler was a noted fast breaker, and Federal Hill would have to cross over on the entire field to get to the front, if indeed he could. At post time, Iron Liege was 6-5, Bull Ruler 7-5, Federal Hill 7-1. Heady Eddie Arcaro was aboard Bull Ruler, and when the latch was dropped, he shot Bull Ruler to the front, and as expected, Federal Hill was right there with him. Federal Hill had a half length on Bull Ruler as they went to the clubhouse turn, but Arcaro would not let Federal Hill by to gain a clear lead. That forced Federal Hill to lose precious ground and gave Arcaro and Bull Ruler the fence, so to speak, to save real estate. They ran together on around the turn and onto the backside. Midway down the backstretch, Federal Hill gave up the chase, and it was Iron Liege under Bill Hartack laying third, just off the early fractions, waiting to make one big move. As they went to the far turn, Hartack dropped his mount down a notch and began to move on Iron Liege, but Arcaro would have none of that and cranked Bull Ruler up a notch to continue to hold the length and a half lead. Iron Liege tried again at the top of the straight, but Bull Ruler turned back that challenge as well. Arcaro went to the whip down Pimlico's short stretch and drove Bull Ruler to the wire, a two-length winner. After the race, Arcaro said he had pretty much given Bull Ruler his head, as opposed to keeping him wrapped up as he had done in the early part of the Derby. Hartack offered no excuses for Iron Liege's effort. Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, the trainer of Bull Ruler, had used a cunning little trick on Bull Ruler. He had put a piece of string on the bit of Bull Ruler to ease the pressure on his cheek. In actuality, the race had been decided right at the start, for all practical purposes, when Bull Ruler and Federal Hill rocketed from the gate in front of Iron Liege. It all happened on a hot, sticky Saturday afternoon in mid-May at Pimlico, in the 81st Preakness, when Bold Ruler gained sweet revenge for that year's Derby loss.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Bloom Racing. Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Pulling away from Come Dancing, Mopetism, and the others, Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the Phipps in hand.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Power.
Anchor Down has the lead as they turn for home. Anchor Down in front by three. Anchor Down has built a five-length lead with just a 16th to the finish. Anchor Down wins the Westchester.
Passion.
Anchor Down is still there coming to the 16th pole. Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Performance.
Gainesway Stallion Anchor Down, a son of three-time champion sire Tappet and a top miler who won the Grade 2 Kelso with a final time of 132 and 4 fifths, posting a 108 buyer speed figure. A half to Grade 1 winner Sweet Lulu. Anchor Down strongly resembles his sire and will be represented by his first crop of yearlings this year. Brilliantly fast, Anchor Down, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hello, I'm Junior Alvarado, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Easy Goer on the outside. Those two approach the eight pole. There goes Easy Goer. Easy Goer gets the lead. Easy Goer getting clear by two. Clever Trevor second by six. Shy Tom is third. Easy Goer, New York's Horse of the Year, has the lead in the Travers Stakes.
Here comes Rhythm. They pass the eight pole, the mile 36 and two. Rhythm gaining ground on the outside of Sir Richard Lewis gets the lead. Sir Richard Lewis now second, then Shotgun Scott as they approach the wire with Rhythm in front.
Smith all over Coronado's Quest. A final surge from Victory Gallop as they come to the line. Reffy's Majesty closing with the rush. Photo finish. Coronado's Quest, Victory Gallop, and Reffy's Majesty. Three noses on the line in a dramatic renewal of the Travers.
Well, the trio of Travers victories for Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahee, the native of Lexington, Kentucky, looking to round out the superfecta with a fourth win in the Travers later today with Code of Honor. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. This, of course, is the Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And Shug, nice enough to spend a little time with us on what has to be a very busy day for him. But hey, he's been there, done that. He knows the drill on Travers Day. Shug, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Mike. Jude, how y'all doing?
All right.
Yeah, things are good, my friend. And wanted to take you on a little trip down memory lane there as we welcomed you to the program this morning. But before we get to that, first and foremost, congratulations on that huge win at Belterra yesterday.
That was something, wasn't it?
That's great.
Found the right spot. But I mean, you know, the filly's a decent filly. You just got to find, you know, where they belong.
You know, it's funny. I was looking on Equibase just as you were getting ready to join us to see, you know, all of the entries that you had this weekend. And I looked and I said, Jude, Shug won a race at Belterra yesterday. I didn't see that one coming, Shug.
I might be undefeated, though.
Well, it's funny because
years and years ago, I had for Mr. John Bell, who was a wonderful, wonderful man, great to me, and he bought a filly off of John Galver, 1500 yearling. I didn't know any. He sent her to me. I ran her at Hot Springs for like 16, and she ran second or third or somewhere. And I started getting all these phone calls. I said, what? He said, well, she's an Ohio bred. I didn't know she was an Ohio bred. I took her up there and ran her an Ohio bred stake. And Jim Morgan had a filly in there had been the champion, two-year-old filly, and we won pretty easy. So I think that's the only two I can remember running up there.
That's great. Well, it's funny because Mike said Sugar Ann won at Belterra yesterday, and I said, I sure hope he won. And he looked it up. He goes, yeah, he won by 10. I said, well, that's great. So, yeah, that's well, really fun.
I was glad. Anytime you can win, it's fun.
Yep.
Well, Sugar, you've done your fair share of winning all over the country, including Saratoga and including the Travers Stakes. We just heard that montage of your three previous wins. You know, again, before Jude and I came on the show, we were talking, and hard to believe it's been 30 years since Easy Goer stormed to victory there at Saratoga.
Well, I agree with you. It doesn't seem that long ago, but, you know, with it being the 30th year of his Belmont and now the Travers, I've had, you know, a lot of reminders, and, you know, they've all been good reminders. So, it was a fun time. It was a fun time for us. It was a fun time for the Phippses. And, you know, it was really a fun time at that time for racing.
Yeah, it was outstanding. And then you came back the following year with Rhythm to get victory number two. What do you remember about Rhythm's Travers Stakes?
I remember that he finished third in the Haskell, I think, and I thought maybe we'd let him lay up a little bit too close to the pace. I told Craig Perrett, I said, just take him back and see what happens, and it worked. And I think Lucas was second, and, you know, that was Denny Phipps' horse, so that made it a lot of fun also. He'd been the two-year-old colt champion the year before and won the Breeders' Cup, and kind of gotten off to a little bit of a rough start as a three-year-old, and then he used to have a mile-and-eighth race at Belmont called the Colwyn, and I think maybe he was second in the Dwyer to maybe Cherokee Run, and on off track, and then we took him to the Haskell and thought he was going to run good and just ran okay, but he came back and ran good here in the Travers, so that made it a big day.
How about Coronado's Quest in 98?
Well, I think that was probably Mike Smith. He rode a great race on him. You know, he had won the Wood. Then he was program favorite for the Preakness. He did something to a back foot like the day before, and I had to scratch him. Then he come back, and he won then what was the Reaver Ridge and the Dwyer. And he'd gone down and won the Haskell, so we were looking forward to running him. Had a little wonder of whether he'd get a mile and a quarter or not, but Mike rode a great race on him, and he was able to, you know, to win by a nose over Victor Gallup and Raffy's Majesty. And, you know, it was the first really kind of big race that Stuart Janney had won, and it was really a lot of fun for me, and, you know, I was really pleased for the horse, but I was really pleased for Mr. Janney and being able to win the Travers, and it was a great day and sure a lot of fun.
You have the best memory of any trainer that we've ever had on this program, and I think your trainer talk that we did with you many years ago, it illustrated that, because you went through, you know, the training schedules with horses like you did it last week, and it was years past. Have you always had that kind of memory, how do you do that? It's amazing, really.
Dude, with the horses and that kind of stuff, I'm fine. Now, I might have forgot what I had for dinner last night. Sometimes I forgot whether I washed my hair or not. with that kind of stuff, for some reason, it has always stuck, you know, even when I was younger, it was even better than that. I can really, you know, not only our horses, but I can remember other horses, people's horses too. And but, you know, all that's all fun.
Yeah, well, that's great. Have you always been so relaxed about upheaval at your barn, or when you were younger, were you more intense? I mean, it just seems like, you know, you're very relaxed. When something happens, you don't go crazy. You just go on with your day and figure out what you need to do. Is that something you've learned over time, or have you always been like that?
I think a lot more lately, dude. I remember when I first started training, I'd get so nervous when a horse was in that I thought, if it doesn't get better than this, I'll have to do something else. But, you know, and in big days, I remember, you know, just all I'd do is just walk all day. And, you know, now I've kind of found, I remember Orb's Derby Day, you know, I got back to the hotel after the morning, and I was a nervous wreck. And I took a shower, and I said, I'm going back to the barn. And once I got back to the barn, I was fine. But, you know, my temper used to be terrible, you know, and I would blow up over things I probably didn't need to. But, you know, now what are you going to do about it when it happens? You know, just try to hope. You know, if a horse gets hurt or, you know, runs a bad race or something when I didn't think they would, you know, obviously it's disappointing to me. But, you know, as long as I can get them back, then I feel like that, you know, we've got time to try again.
Shug McGahey with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Shug, we'll talk about Code of Honor in just a moment, but I do want to ask you about one more sensational racehorse that you had the chance to train. I know you've walked us through her story before, but today we honor, once again, the great Personal Ensign with the Personal Ensign Stakes at Saratoga. And, you know, so special. But for you now to look up and see these races named after these great champions that you had the chance to develop, what's that like for Shug McGahey?
It's special, you know. I mean, it's, you know, there's some of them out there, but today, you know, I'll be watching the Personal Ensign with pride, you know. I mean, it's, you know, that stuff's an honor for me. And you know, just like being able to give the speech for Mr. Phipps to get in the Hall of Fame that this, you know, this past first August, you know, that stuff's an honor, is an honor for me. It's an honor for me to be even have been able to not only know Mr. Phipps and Denny Phipps, but be able to work for them and been able to provide the horses to me to train like a Personal Ensign. And, you know, it was just, it was a lot of fun. I mean, you know, she was a special, special horse, and she gave us, you know, a lot of thrills. And she was sort of, Mr. Phipps was a filly. He liked the fillies, and, you know, so she was sure special to him. But, you know, any of the races are named, you know, there's an Easy Goer and Inside Information and Personal Ensign and this and that. That's all a source of pride for me.
Yeah, that's got to be a great feeling. And, you know, the race, the Personal Ensign has become one of the signature races in all of American racing.
Well, it has, you know. It's I was lucky to win it as a Personal Ensign a few years back with Persistently. You know, when it was a John Morris, I remember, you know, Heavenly Prize won it. So had another filly called Personal Business that won it at that time. So we have been involved. But, you know, it was a big thrill when we won it with Persistently. And Mr. Phipps had come, you know, he was – had been having some problems with his leg, and he hadn't been up here the year before, and, you know, so it was a big thrill for all of us. So, you know, I was just glad to be part of it, and like I say, today I'll be watching. They've got it's a great race with the late Midnight Bizou, and really the other filly, Bill Motson, won the Shoeby. I think is going to let them know she was in there too, so it'll be fun.
Well, Shug, you'll get your time to shine in the Travers at 5:44 Eastern. Code of Honor, second choice on the morning line at 4-1. Last started in the Grade 3 Dwyer, won that one quite convincingly back on July 6th. What things are you seeing from Code of Honor since that effort that lead you to believe he's sitting on a big race later today?
Well, just we got him up here after the Dwyer, and it's just he hadn't missed a beat, you know. I mean, I can't second guess anything that we've done with him, and all of his works have been, you know, exactly what I was looking for. And, you know, his half-mile sort of blowout on Monday was pretty impressive to see, you know. And, you know, he came out of that fine, and he's had a good week up here. And he's won over this racetrack the only time he's run on it. And I think that, you know, we get lucky and get a good trip, they're going to know he was in there.
Yeah, he's really been training nicely. I've been able to watch some of it on film, and it's amazing. He's such a cool horse. He's very laid back. He takes after his trainer, and he just seems to do everything easy.
Well, that's what makes him. You know, he's not a very big horse in height or stature, so that means, and you know, but he's very efficient in what he does. He doesn't, you know, there's no wasted action. He sets himself right. He moves right. And, you know, he's pretty push button to train. You know, if you tell the exercise rider to go between 48 and 49, that's what he does, you know. Let him gallop back good. And so it makes it kind of easy to train now. I mean, you know, when he was a two-year-old, he got sick at the Breeders' Cup, and then we got him to Florida, and he didn't run good in the Mucho Macho Man. We had to sort of change our plans around a little bit there. But, you know, ever since really since the Derby, it's all been pretty straightforward with him. And, you know, he developed. He's a late May foal. And so he's starting to develop. And, you know, I think he's starting to kind of look better in all ways.
Shug, we'll let you go here in just a minute. I know it's a busy morning for you. But what's the key to getting a horse ready to peak going a mile and a quarter in a race like the Travers? What do you have to do leading up to the race to get him ready?
Well, you know, the biggest thing, I think that the mile race at Belmont was a race to sort of get him here. And then just sort of, you know, obviously you want him to be fit enough. You know, you don't want to overdo it, but you don't want to underdo it. But, you know, we had a half mile and a couple kind of gallop out 5/8 where he went on the minute change of 101, kind of his fitness level, and then tried to sharpen him up a little bit Monday going into the race. But, you know, as anybody would say, you just try to kind of keep him happy and get him over there the best you can. I've always sort of said training horses like walking on tightrope. You don't want them to be too lethargic, but you don't want them to go the other way either. And so you just try to keep them on that tightrope and have them ready to go over there. And, you know, I think his time in between is something that is probably helped too at this time. And, you know, so from best we can see, that he's in the best shape of his life and probably is sitting on as good a race that he's ever run.
Well, Shug, you've walked that tightrope as good as anybody throughout much of your Hall of Fame career. Good luck in the Travers Stakes later today. And as always, you're so generous with your time. We appreciate the visit this morning. Go get it done later today.
All right, thanks. Well, thank both of you, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahee here on HRN. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. We'll get to another break. We'll come back with our Industry Star of the Week presented by Stuart Morris and get you set for hour number two here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup.
On Monday, September 2nd, Del Mar dedicates the last day of the race season to those who put their country first. Join us as we salute the military with an epic post-race party featuring live music from the Wayward Sons. All proceeds from the party will go to military charities. And for every $50 event ticket, an active military member gets into the party free. Come join us for closing day and our military salute Labor Day Monday. Get your tickets at DelmarRacing.com. Presented by Run Happy.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Attention, Kentucky Breds. Make plans to race at the upcoming Kentucky Downs meet starting August 31st, where Kentucky Breds compete for huge purses. Kentucky Breds will run for $130,000 in maiden events, with allowance races offering up to $145,000, the highest in the nation. Plus a Breeders' Cup win in the Turf Sprint on September 7th. With additional purse money available for KTDF-eligible horses, Kentucky Downs is the place to race a Kentucky Bred this summer. Visit KentuckyBred.org for details.
This is Tom Durkin for NYBreads.com, inviting you to get with the New York program because it offers owners a better chance to make money. Because you have the option of running in more than 800 races a year where your horse faces only other state breds. And there's more than $40 million in purse money for those restricted races. So come to Saratoga in early August and buy your New York bred yearling at one of the Fassig Tifton sales. And next year, we hope to see you win at the Spa.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
and suddenly Cambia Park just got a second wind and exploded. And Cambia Park, an impressive winner of the Del Mar Oaks. It's Higher Power striding home in the TVG Pacific Classic. Basically, he never gave them a chance.
What a weekend for Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro with two new Grade 1 winners at Del Mar last Saturday. Cambia Park scored in the Grade 1 Del Mar Oaks, and Higher Power catapulted himself into the Breeders' Cup Classic picture with a huge win in the Grade 1 Pacific Classic, making them your Darley Taking the Reins Performers of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro is the horse with the Midas touch and now has 24 career Grade 1 winners. Watch for his latest crop of yearlings at the upcoming sales. Learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
I'm Manny Franco, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Grand Billy cuts the corner and fourth, March on the Move on the far outside, and then it's Mr. Z, a furlong to go. Run Happy and Edgar Prado. They've got a two-length lead as they come down to the 16th pole. It's Run Happy in front. Limousine Liberal, Holy Boss can't get him. Run Happy has won the Naira.com Kings Bishop by four. Limousine Liberal was second, and then it was Holy Boss and Watershed in a final time of 1 minute 20.54 seconds, just off of the track record.
Larry Comas with the call. Run Happy taking that King's Bishop back in 2015. It was quite a year for Run Happy. He would cap off that championship season with a win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint here at Keeneland. And Run Happy now standing at Claiborne. Out in Paris, Kentucky, you can go see Run Happy and all the Claiborne Stallions there. Run Happy, of course, the title sponsor of today's Traverse Stakes and many of the races on the program today as well. And that brings us to our industry star of the week. And I wanted to play that clip going into this particular interview segment because a couple of weeks ago when Jude and I were in New York to broadcast the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale, we had a chance to visit with Ann Hardy, who is the executive director of Horse Country, an organization that maybe you've heard of, maybe you haven't, but they do tremendous work here in the Bluegrass. And Ann took the time to stop by our broadcast position at the sale. She took a chance to visit with us, and that interview with Ann started right after our Acacia Courtney caught up with Walker Hancock from Claiborne. And we wanted to honor Ann for all of her work that she does with Horse Country as our Industry Star of the Week, this segment presented by Stuart Morris. Ann, I referenced the fact that these horses do become stars. They become stars here tonight. They become stars on the racetrack. And certainly they are stars that people love to come see on the horse farms when they retire.
Indeed, yeah. And it's fun to hear Walker talking because, of course, Claiborne was one of our founding members, being able to go there and visit. They've actually started a lot of new tours lately. They've opened up to see mares and foals and to be able to see the stars of Foal Patrol, which ties in the Racing Hall of Fame and Museum here in Saratoga. But Fasig also is a great supporter. You can really go behind the scenes, and people just love to have an opportunity to hear the little bit extra and see where it all starts and ends and continues.
For people that aren't familiar with what we're talking about when they hear the term horse country, fill people in. What is it?
Horse country is the way that you can get to come and visit Kentucky and really get inside and behind the fences, behind the gates of the farms and the clinics, all the different equine attractions that are so central in the Bluegrass region. So we are going to be a source to help you plan a trip, a visit, you know, kind of check that bucket list off and visit some of your favorites.
Yeah, it's such a great program, and it makes the farms accessible to everyone. One central location. They can go to your website, figure out what they want to do, and do it. And you can't beat that, really.
Yeah, well, they can go to the website for sure. We also love to talk to people. Lots of people call us. So visit horsecountry.com if you think that you can just do it all yourself. Many people can, but we also love to help make restaurant recommendations and hook them up with bourbon distilleries and make sure that their whole visit is going to be top-notch.
How many people took advantage of the Horse Country program last year?
We had about 30,000 guests through.
Whoa.
And it's a big growth spurt for us, truly. And this past July was the best July that we've had on record. We're just skyrocketing lots of new tour options and lots of new tour people coming through.
Do they have favorite
maybe most popular stallions that they like to go see when they come?
I mean, everybody has a favorite, you know, from kind of the dark horse, like this is my one special one that I watched, all the way up to those that you expect. Of course, American Pharoah and Justify are always super popular. Claiborne has a great roster, but Darby Dan is a popular place to go as well, and there's something for everyone.
That's cool. Well, Darby Dan has tremendous history, and a lot of people don't realize that. Of course, all the Pittsburgh Pirate fans want to go there.
That's right. There is a trophy. There's a trophy in the Manor House. You can go and see the World Series trophy and Bing Crosby singing you a song. And
yeah, it's really cool. And a lot of people don't realize that there's so many things in racing that people don't know about. And when they take these tours, they learn something new, even if they think they're an expert. Everybody in racing thinks they're an expert. Bobby Frankel said if you had $5 to buy a farm, you were an expert, you know. So it's really great what you guys do, and I know the farms appreciate it because it was quite a turmoil to get all these people to the farms and when you're trying to do your work, right? And
yep.
So now you do all the work for the farms and for the people that want to go, so it's perfect.
They're really good, though. They tell a good story. They are always so welcoming and hospitable. They love having the fans and guests there. We just try to smooth out the little things that go along with making it happen.
And you let them drink along the way, right?
Hey, if you want to go visit a bourbon distillery, have a glass of wine, we're going to try and make that all happen for you. But you really hit it on the head because it's not just the Stallion Farms. That's a great entry point. Many people know them, but you can go and visit Blackwood Stables, which is a great training facility, of course, Country House. Mill Ridge Farm, I think y'all have talked to them recently, and yep. Visiting a nursery is also a really great option. And it's just anything you want to see and things you didn't even know you wanted to see.
Well, go to the website, visithorsecountry.com. Give them a call, too. As Ann said, they love to talk to people, and they are a great organization and super friendly, too. You really enjoy it. Visithorsecountry.com.
Thanks, guys.
Ann, appreciate it. Go enjoy the night.
Thank you. You too.
And that interview and our Industry Star of the Week segment brought to you every week at this time by Stuart Morris, offering a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. He wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team. Their success, and he realizes it, is because of you. With multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. You can visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all the major sales coming up throughout the later summer and throughout the fall. We're back with hour number two right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Jovia fights on. Tacitus is there. And then taps between horses. Master Fencer on the far outside. They're coming to the finish. And Sir Winston has won the Belmont Stakes.
There's an eighth of a mile to go. Bolo keeps on going. River Boyne on the inside. Catapult far outside. Bowie Zero. But Bolo has something left for the final 16th, and it's going to be Bolo coast to coast in the Shoemaker Mile.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Mucho Gusto trying so hard to go by. Maximum Security just in front. Mucho Gusto valiant, but Maximum Security has won the TVG.com Haskell Invitational.
Stride to stride, a film. On to run. One bad boy. One bad boy. Never looked better. And has got the Queen's Plate well and truly won.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here in the month of August. Mike Penna, Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Big A, Anthony Stabile, will be in New York later this afternoon, 3 to 6 Eastern. He'll be live from Saratoga along with Daily Racing Form's Mike Beer to bring you our exclusive radio coverage of the Traverse Stakes, which is presented by Red Brand, visitbarbados.org, and Breeders' Cup. That coverage, 3 to 6 Eastern Time, Sirius XM 156, and streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net, available also on affiliates across the country, including up in Albany, New York. So make sure you're locked in anywhere you might be to that Traverse Stakes broadcast later today. And Jude will remind people before we get to our next guest here, Tim Wilkin from the Albany Times Union, that if people missed any portion of the first half of the program or any of our shows, they're all available for you on podcast at horseracingradio.net. First hour of the program this morning featured the Big A, previewing all the big races there today, and Shug McGahee, the Hall of Famer, who was with us just a short time ago to talk about Code of Honor and look back on all of his Travers memories.
Yeah, if you missed any of that Shug interview, you should go back and listen to it. He's an amazing guy.
You know who else has some good Travers memories?
Tim Wilkin.
My man Tim Wilkin from the Albany Times Union.
My favorite guest.
Texted him and asked him to come on the program. He's been on with us the past several years here on Travers Morning. I said, it's not Travers Day without hearing from Tim Wilkin from the Albany Times Union. And he's with us now here on HRN. Tim, good morning.
You know, guys, I appreciate being on with you guys as always. I'm kind of out of sorts because you're not here.
Yeah, welcome to the club.
You know,
we're a little off today too.
Huh?
I said we're a little off today too. This doesn't feel right.
Yeah, I was like, man. I mean, I'm happy to do the show, but I've always liked their little rapport down on the set.
Well, yeah. you still got. You can go say hi to the Big A later today.
That's going to work out well.
He's down there mixing sauce right now. He's going to make his linguine and clam sauce, I think, today for the masses. Although I don't think he'll be giving too much of it away.
I would doubt it.
You know, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I would doubt that for sure. Well, Timmy, happy Travers Day, my friend. I hear it's a great day from a weather perspective in Saratoga, and I would expect a massive crowd on hand later today.
You know, it is. They couldn't get a nicer day. I mean, there's not a cloud in the sky, and, you know, the weather up here has been so wacky. The whole meet, it's been really hot, and we've had some crazy storms. A tornado blew through here the other day. But, you know, Travers Day now, I don't know, I can't remember a Travers Day weather-wise that can beat this one. It's probably going to be 75 degrees, sunny, no humidity, no rain, and just a fantastic day. And you're right, there will be a big crowd here. I heard you know, they open the gates here at 7 o'clock in the morning for the patrons to come in and get their picnic tables. The guards was telling me that at 6:30, a couple of the boys out there got a little antsy and they started climbing the fence to try to get in.
Well,
that would have been a sight.
It's always the same every year. The husbands run in and get a picnic table and they start handicapping. They've got their racing form out and whatever. And then just about now, the wives are coming in with the beer cooler, the five kids, all the stuff for the barbecue.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing how that goes. And the guys are sitting there all fresh as a daisy, and their poor wives are lugging all this stuff in.
A friend of mine once snuck into he stayed in the track from Friday. He hid Friday night so they wouldn't find him when everybody left the track, and he stayed and he slept in the track. He slept down by the picnic tables at the top of the stretch so that he could be the first one to throw the blanket and the tablecloth over the picnic table the next morning and get our spot.
I mean, boy, that's dedication.
Was it worth it? Did he say it was worth it?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. We got the picnic table.
Wait, he got a picnic table at the top of the stretch. Couldn't get a better one?
Well, that Timmy, that's where we used to sit every year when I first, you know, got hooked on racing. We would go down there with the cooler full of beer, and we would hang
Natty
out.
Natty Light.
We couldn't afford the good stuff because that was a bet that you couldn't make if you put money into good beer. So yeah, we had the beer, we had the cooler, and it was a lot of fun. We sat down there every single year.
Well, I'll tell you one thing: you guys are missed here today. Trust me, you guys do bring an awful lot to the table when you're here. And you do bring a lot to the table wherever you are, but you're missed.
Well, thanks, Timmy. We appreciate that. Let's talk about the Travers here this year. 12 horses will go postward right around 544. This three-year-old division is so wide open right now in terms of who might be the three-year-old champion. Is this a race that we could see the winner throw their hat into the mix and say, yeah, I'm the one that should be considered for that three-year-old championship?
Well, I think, yeah, depending on who wins it.
Yeah.
I mean, if Everfast were to win, I don't think you'd throw his name in there. But, you know, if Tacitus were to win, Code of Honor were to win, I mean, I would think they've got to start, you know, moving up the ladder. I mean, if there was a leader right now, would it be Maximum Security? Would it be War of Will? I don't know. I mean, if Game Winner had come here and won, I think he would have been right near the top. But I think it's right now, I think if Tacitus or Code of Honor were to win today, I think they got to be right there. And anybody else, I just don't see it.
I said earlier,
how they can get, how they can move up. And, you know, and no one in this field has won a grade one. So, you know, I think there's a lot to be proven by all these horses. And I mean, I ended up picking Tacitus. I know he's had more troubled trips than the Griswold family, but he's I just think he's the best horse. If he can stay out of trouble, I think it's his race to lose. And you know, I've seen all these horses just about every day, and he looks spectacular. Billy Mott, I asked him the other day. I said, "Are you getting tired of people saying, you know, you were second in the Belmont, you're second in the Jim Dandy, but you still had the best horse?" He said, "Yeah, he's getting real sick of people saying that to him." And then he threw out the line saying, "He goes, I guess we're like Avis. When you're second, you try harder." And, you know, he's coming into the race great, but so was Code of Honor. I mean, his workouts have been sensational. And, you know, Shug McGahee, you guys just talked to him. You can never discount him in these races. Never.
You know, I'm glad you bring up the fact that none of the 12 3-year-olds going to the post in the Travers have won a grade one to this point. I just have this gut feeling, Tim, that this race is somewhat of a... I just think we're going to see something goofy happen here in terms of a big long shot win the Travers today. It just, to me, there's something, it just has that feel to it to me this year. Am I wrong? Am I way off base on that? Is Tacitus and Code of Honor, are they just the best?
If you go by what's happened all year, I mean, look what happened in the Derby. It was just one of the craziest things I've ever seen. You know, you had Bodie Express, Bolton throwing Johnny V at the start of the Preakness. There's just been some, you're right, there's been some nutty things that have happened all year long. And I guess it wouldn't surprise me if something totally off the wall happened today. Although I don't expect it, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, well, you really can't handicap the race that way. I mean, it's just expecting chaos because one thing isn't related to another. But it's a kind of race where there's several horses that look like they could win if they ran their optimum race. So, you know, it's a little bit more random than a lot of the stakes today that it seems like, you know, there's a couple of horses that stand out over their fields. But I don't
know.
Who'd you pick?
In the Travers?
Yeah.
I picked Tacitus.
Tacitus?
I picked Tacitus over, I picked Mucho Gusto second with Code of Honor third. How about you guys? What are your picks?
I went with Code of Honor. I just love the way he's been training, and you know, I'm a huge Shug fan, so it was probably colored a little bit by that. But I he's won this race three times already, so he knows what to do,
and
I trust him. So
he doesn't come here. He only comes here when he knows he has a chance.
I mean, he's
I think the last horse he had in here, if I'm not mistaken, I think Mr. Speaker maybe in 2014, maybe.
Ooh, there's a name from the past.
And, I think he's had 13 starters in this race before, and you know, usually they make a pretty good account of himself. I think he's only been off the board maybe three times in this race. I mean, he comes to these races when he knows he's got a big shot, and you know, after you watched him in the Dwyer Code of Honor, I mean, a really nice effort by him there. I mean, I don't know. And then Shug says, at first he was going to go to the Jim Dandy, and then he decided he was just going to train him up to the race. And, you know, a lot of the things in this game, out of sight, out of mind, what have you done for me lately? But people shouldn't sleep on this horse. I was really tossing both of them up and down who I was going to put on top. I mean, I ended up putting Tacitus on top, and I mean, I did put Mucho Gusto second only because of, you know, Bob doesn't ship horses cross country just for fun. And other people are saying, well, Bob isn't here, so he probably doesn't think he can win. And I said, well, Bob wasn't here when West Coast won either. I mean, so I think he's got a big chance too. And he's from what I've understood, hearing from Simon Harris, the exercise rider that works for the Terranovers when Bob is here, he's really gotten over the track well.
Bob was there for American Pharoah. Maybe he's just gotten superstitious. Figures if he stays away, he's got a better chance to win.
It's possible.
Who knows?
He was here for McKenzie for the Whitney, but that was also right before the sale.
Yeah,
but I think he would have been here for McKenzie regardless.
Yeah, I think so too. Tim Wilkin with us from the Albany Times Union here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, talking about the 150th running of the Travers, which comes up at 5:44 Eastern Time. Of course, you can follow Tim on Twitter at TJ Wilkin. That's WILKIN at TJ Wilkin on Twitter. He'll keep you up to date on all the news at Saratoga and throughout the entire year as we make our way down the road to the Breeders' Cup. Tim, but a few more minutes here before we let you go, but any other races or horse on the program today that really caught your eye that you're excited to watch and see later today?
Yeah, I'm in the Forego, you know, that's a lot of people are obviously, and rightfully so, focusing on Matoli, who's going to try to rebound from that third-place finish. In the Vanderbilt, when Imperial Hint set the track record, I'm going against him. I'm going with Promises Fulfilled, the Dale Roman's trained horse that loves Saratoga, won twice here last summer, won the Jerkins, the Grade 1 Jerkins, and also the Amsterdam. And he's a hard-trying horse who just always lays it down, and it could be interesting up front with those two. I think that maybe Matoli, after that Vanderbilt, and I could be totally wrong on this, maybe he's starting to go the other way. I don't know. But I'm going to pick Promises Fulfilled, and there's an interesting story with this horse for today's race. His owner, Bob Barron, who's a local guy from up here, won't be here for the race because his uncle died last summer at the age of 92 in Connecticut. And Bob Barron promised his uncle that when his uncle's granddaughter got married, he'd be at the wedding. Well, the wedding's today. And, you know, obviously the girl didn't realize it when she made her arrangements it was going to be Travers Day, but Bob, like his horse, makes a promise. He's going to be in Connecticut when they're running the Forego, which is, you know, hats off to Bob for honoring that promise to his late uncle. But I think Promises Fulfilled I'm going to give him a big shot to upset the Forego.
Yeah, that's really cool that he's going to do that. And
great story.
Yeah. Forego the Forego.
Very, very good. See, that's the kind of stuff I miss being around with you guys.
Well, Timmy, listen, we really, as always, appreciate the visit. And, you know, it's just so special to have you on every Travers morning and really appreciate it. And go have some fun with the Big A today and pick some winners and cash a lot of tickets later this afternoon at the Spa.
Well, that's what we're all hoping for. And I even wish the Big A luck. Yeah,
you got to be the bigger man sometimes, Timmy.
Yeah, he's in the paper for we do this bankroll, and he's kicking my butt, but I'm beating him handily in the picks box. But in this little blurb we do every day, I give the Big A different nickname every 10 days. You want to know what his nicknames have been?
Yeah, what are they?
The first one was the Big Ragu. The second one was Big Arrogant. The third one was Ham Sandwich. I called him that because when he talks, it sounds like he has a ham sandwich in his mouth. And the fourth one now is just Big Mouth, which he doesn't like. Anthony's a good dude. We have fun with this thing. Good guy, and as gruff as he can come across to some people, he's pretty much got a heart of gold.
Yeah, no doubt about it, as does Tim Wilkin. Tim, again, appreciate the visit, my friend, and enjoy the Travers Stakes. And Lord willing, we'll be back there next year with you.
Sounds good. It's always good talking to you guys.
All right. Tim Wilkin here on HRRN. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, he will indeed receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Don't forget that you can wear what you love, and all you have to do is go to embracetherace.com to do that. And if you're in Saratoga, stop by their their store, which is right there on Main Street. You can't miss it. And say hello to Mike D'Anzaris and his wife Jill and all the great folks at Embrace the Race, and tell them that the Pontiff and the Baron sent you in and told you to pick up some of their great merchandise, because it is simply spectacular at Embrace the Race. Time now to get to a quick commercial break. We will come back after this and have your Philly Focus segment, which is presented by Paramount Sales. Jude and I will take a look at the personal ensign today in a little more depth. Your Four Roses Bourbon monthly visit with Brent Elliott, who is the master distiller at Four Roses, and a word from Bloodhorse. That's all ahead on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Eclipse champion Blaine was considered by many as the breakout stallion of 2018. His top runners included Grade 1 winner and Eclipse Award finalist Marley's Freedom, plus Grade 1 winner Fault, and graded stakes winners Moral, Beyond Blaine, Miss Kentucky, and Blaine. This year, his two-year-olds have sold up to $700,000. Outstanding results, outstanding value. Blaine, standing at Claiborne Farm.
The National HBPA is a coalition of over 30 individual affiliates in the United States and Canada, comprised of thousands of thoroughbred owners, trainers, and breeders, committed to the positive future of thoroughbred racing while working to increase its popularity and uphold the highest standards of welfare and integrity. Stop by to visit CEO Eric Hamelback at the National HBPA headquarters in Lexington, Kentucky, and see what the HBPA is doing for you.
This is Florent Giroux, and you are listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Stevens going to a vigorous left-handed whip, holding on by two. Goodbye, Halo is charging hard. Here comes Personal Ensign, unleashing a furious run on the outside, but it is still winning colors. Goodbye, Halo. Personal Ensign, a 16th of a mile from the wire. Winning colors is there. Personal Ensign, a dramatic finish, and here is the wire, and it is Personal Ensign there with Winning Colors in a photo. Very close at the 16th pole. It looked like Personal Ensign was facing her first defeat, but in those final 110 courageous yards, she certainly proved herself a champion this afternoon.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Tom Durkin with the call of that 1988 Breeders' Cup distaff beneath the Twins' fires at Churchill Downs. Personal Ensign somehow finding a way to get up and run down Winning Colors, who looked for much of the race like she was home free, but not to be. Personal Ensign remaining undefeated and rounding out her career in that fashion. Today, we honor Personal Ensign with the running of the Personal Ensign Stakes at Saratoga. And that leads us into our Philly Focus segment, which is presented by Paramount Sales.
This is the Philly Focus.
Forever together as one, a thriller.
Take charge, Brandy, in a stunner. Call back, held on to it.
Presented by Paramount Sales, the new force in thoroughbred sales.
Yeah, Paramount, your source. If you have a top filly that you are looking to consign, we would strongly encourage you giving the folks at Paramount Sales a call. Pat Costello and his team do a tremendous job, and they have had a lot of success selling fillies, and they are your home to do that later this year. If you have a filly on the racetrack that you're thinking about, maybe it's the right time to sell, give the folks at Paramount a call. JT, today's personal Ensign, grade one, mile and an eighth on the main track. Going to be a fast main track at Saratoga because the weather is beautiful. A small but select group, just six horses set to go. Midnight Bisou will break from the rail. She is 6-5 on the morning line under Mike Smith. You have Elate, second choice for Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott. She will break from post position number four under Jose Ortiz. She's 7-5 on the morning line. Is it those two and everybody else?
I think so. I think they're the marquee fillies, and there's a couple others that, you know, have an outside look. Wowcat, who's been performing quite well since she came up from Chile, and Golden Award, Bill Mott's other horse, so to speak. You always have to be aware of the other horse. She's had a very good run the last several months, and just won the Shoe V super easy. So I think those two have an outside chance, but really speed figure wise, pace figure wise, class wise, Elate and Midnight Bisou, they're both, you know, grade one winners. And I think the 4 pounds is kind of a big deal mm-hmm. to me.
Yeah.
Midnight Bisou, has to give 4 pounds to the older Elate, and people will say, well, you know, Midnight Bisou beat her twice recently, but that was the beginning of the year, and Elate was just coming back and kind of knocking the rust off, and both of those races were at Oaklawn Park, a track that maybe she didn't really like. Some horses don't like Oaklawn Park. It's a different kind of surface. And then, you know, the weather warmed up. She got good with those two starts. She won the Fleur de Lis and then came back and won the Delaware Handicap, which is also sometimes a quirky track. But I think this is the kind of matchup you like because both fillies are in top form. They're as good as they get and probably as good as they're ever going to get. Yeah. So this is the day where they square off. I think giving 4 pounds to Elate is a little bit dangerous for Midnight Bisou.
Yeah, and you mentioned the fact that Elate, when she was finishing behind Midnight Bisou, was early in the season. Elate's a different mare than she was early in the season. She's really starting to round into top form again. But Midnight Bisou is also a different filly than she was last year. She's rattled off 5 consecutive victories, all of those coming here in 2019. My one concern, if you're looking to take a short price on Midnight Bisou, who, again, is going to be the favorite in here, 0-2 at Saratoga. And I think it was well documented last year after she ran in the Coaching Club American Oaks. She was second that day, not disgraced, but second behind Monomoy Girl. That's a pretty good second. And then third in the Alabama. And that was the disappointing effort because she was the favorite in there. It looked like it was her race to lose, and she just didn't deliver. I'm not sold that Saratoga is her favorite racetrack. I think she's run well because she's that talented. I don't think that's her favorite racetrack, and I think if you're going to beat Midnight Bisou, today's the day to do it, and I have a feeling that she probably ends up stubbing her toe today and gets beat. Now, with that being said, if she wins this race today on a racetrack that she probably doesn't care for, look, there's no doubt. I mean, she is the number one filly in the country coming into this race. She cements that case moving forward.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think she's kind of proven maybe Saratoga is not her favorite spot. And I don't know how much stock you put into this, but her Brisnet speed figures have declined. She started out 3 races back with a 104, and then the next race in the Ogden Phipps, she ran a 102. Last time out, she ran in the Molly Pitcher, which was kind of a curious spot for her, and she ran a 90, and maybe she was just running down to the competition. But I don't really like that type of pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So those two things together would cause me to fade her today and go for Elate. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be a fantastic race, and it's not cut and dry, that's for sure.
Post time for the personal ensign, 4:12 Eastern time. You'll hear it live as part of our exclusive Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast series. Our coverage, 3 to 6 Eastern. It's presented by Red Brand Fence, by VisitBarbados.org, and by Breeders' Cup. Make sure you tune in on SiriusXM 156 and stream us worldwide at horseracingradio.net and tune in on affiliates across the country. You can learn more by going to our website and seeing that complete list. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. That is your Philly Focus segment presented by Paramount Sales. One other side note before we leave you with a word for Paramount is that Monomoy Girl, who we just talked about, the horse that defeated Midnight Bisou a couple of times last year, she is back in training, and she breezed a half mile in 48 1/5 strong gallop out in 101 this morning at Churchill Downs. That message coming courtesy of our good friend Michael Hernan at Gainsway Farm. So Midnight Bisou and Monomoy Girl could be on a collision course later this year, maybe a race like the Breeders' Cup, who knows. But Monomoy Girl moving in the right direction as she trains this morning at Churchill Downs. We're back with our Four Roses visit, our Four Roses bourbon visit with Brent Elliott, the master distiller, right after this word from Paramount.
Paramount Sales has long been a perennial leading consigner in North America. Since their inception in 2001, Paramount has sold many sale toppers and has been at or near the top of every sale in which they've consigned horses by average. Recent Greatest Stakes winning graduates include Gormley.
Gormley takes the lead.
Instagrand.
Instagrand could not have been more impressive.
Bulletin.
Bulletin is a Breeders' Cup winner.
And Bourbon Resolution.
Bourbon Resolution is long gone.
Learn more at ParamountSales.net.
Well, each month we do have the pleasure of visiting with a representative from Four Roses, and a while back I had the chance to sit down with master distiller Brent Elliott and talk to him about being part of that Four Roses legacy. Since 1888, Four Roses has been made with the same passion and handcrafted as only they can. And this interview, much like the iconic bourbon, handcrafted by Four Roses. Today I have the privilege of visiting once again with Brent Elliott, who is the master distiller and quality director with Four Roses. What do you remember about that day in 2005 when you first walked through the doors here at Four Roses?
Yeah, that's actually pretty funny, because when I started, the week I started was the week of Bourbon Festival. And I don't know if you've ever been involved in that, but it's basically like the whole industry, and we're still producing in the background, but everyone kind of stops what they're doing, and it becomes... it's like the week where everybody comes to Kentucky just to learn to celebrate bourbon. So really not a lot of work gets done. It's all about showcasing to guests what we do. So like here, we host events on site. We're going to Bardstown to participate in events. It's just a lot of celebration and promotional type stuff. So that was the week I started.
Wow. Could you imagine at that time that you'd be sitting here 13 years later, which, let's face it, that's really not that long of a time, and sitting here as the master distiller of Four Roses?
No, yeah, I had no idea. I almost didn't take this job. Actually, it was I was in Tennessee. I had just bought a house, just gotten married, and had a job. My wife had a job. And we came up and we took a tour of Woodford Reserve. We were just up here visiting family one weekend. And I'd grown up in Kentucky. I went to school at UK. So this has always been home. But I'd been living down there for about 7 years. And I thought, you know, I bet this industry needs chemists. I bet this is something I could do, which is my background. And I actually, that very weekend, I got home Sunday night, got online, and I found this job posted. And went back and forth, came up, interviewed, I was offered the job. And I couldn't decide whether to take it or not. Now, this is 2005. This is before the resurgence in the popularity of bourbon. The only reason I was really interested in it was just because it was an industry that, being from Kentucky, was near and dear to my heart. It was interesting, and it just sounded like something I could a job that I could enjoy on many levels, not just a paycheck. It was something I could really get passionate about.
Were you a bourbon drinker at that time?
Yes.
You were? Okay.
Yeah. But what's funny is the first time I tried Four Roses was on my way. I came up for the interview the night before, and on the way, you could only get it in Kentucky at the time. I bought a bottle on the way to the hotel the night before, and I tried it that night, the night before my interview for the first time. And that was probably as much a factor in my decision to take this job as anything. Just I fell in love with the bourbon. You know, again, this was before the boom in bourbon, but I knew that it was a fantastic product. And as a company, that we would do well because we were just now starting to come back to the United States, and which we have, but I never imagined it would be like this. And I certainly never imagined that I'd be the master distiller. Actually, 2015 was when I took over. So 10 short years after that, I had no idea.
And you took over for a gentleman by the name of Jim Rutledge, who was the master distiller here at Four Roses. Tell me about working with Jim and learning from him.
Oh, yeah. He's, if you know anything about bourbon, you know Jim Rutledge. You know that name. An absolute icon in the industry. Probably more passion and dedication than anyone I've met in the industry. It was just, it was an honor to work with him for the 10 years that I got to. I would say probably the most important thing I learned from him, which I learned so much, it's hard to really pinpoint anything, but without getting technical and boring, probably the most important thing I learned was just how he, kind of what I touched on earlier with, dealing with consumers and people that are curious about the bourbon industry. And he would take all the time in the world to answer, two people if he bumped into them, on the grounds, maybe two guests walking around. He could spend hours just answering their questions. And I think it's part of the same thing. He had that passion, that love, still does, for the brand, for the industry. And, I could just see, how important that was to the guests. From the outside looking and seeing him interact with the consumers, it was just something to behold. And I've always remembered that and always will.
Do you have a favorite flavor?
I get asked that a lot, and at times I might think I do, and then it'll change the following week. So it's hard to say. I can't even tell you which of the our three standard products is my favorite. It's almost, it could change by season, by time of day. It because they're all just different. It's just a different flavor for different occasions.
When you think about all the things you've accomplished here in the 13 years you've been here and working as the master distiller since 2015, what are you most proud of?
Right now, probably just because we're growing so quickly, we're expanding. We're in the middle of doubling our capacity. We've just added a new bottling facility. We've just about anything you look at, anywhere in our process, has changed just dramatically in the last, not just 3 years, but last 12 years. And probably the biggest challenge for me this entire time that I've been here, in particular is in my role of director of quality, is maintaining the consistency, making sure that what's coming out of the still or out of the barrel or being put into the bottle, that it is always consistent and it has that same Four Roses characteristic that has gotten us to where we are today, that has put Four Roses on the map. And I think I kind of feel like the steward of that legacy. People always say, what do you want to do? How do you want to make your mark? I'm like, I don't even consider that. Someday I'm sure that, I want to experiment just as anyone would, and other people around here feel the same way. We'll branch out and try something different at some point. But right now, I think what's most important, what I'm most proud of, is maintaining the brand that so many others have worked to build up to get us to where we are now.
Yeah, well, as you said earlier, if you know bourbon, you know the name Jim Rutledge. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that someday when people talk about bourbon, they're going to know the name Brent Elliott as well. So Brent, I really appreciate it. All of our listeners across the nation now know Brent Elliott and appreciate you spending a little time and us getting to know you here today.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, my thanks to Brent for taking the time for that interview a while back. Thought it was worth replaying his story. So good, and we can't thank the folks at Four Roses enough for their support of what we do here on the network. Make sure you support them as well. Going to get to a break in just a minute. Garrett O'Rourke from Judmont coming up next to talk about Travers' favorite, Tacitus. We'll hear from him momentarily, but want to remind you that if you don't already know this, that you can use your Amazon Alexa devices to listen to the Blood Horse Daily feature stories. That's right. Blood Horse Daily has the latest racing, breeding, industry news and analysis, plus entries, results, race replay videos, and more. It is free and available via PDF, email, phone app, and audible via Alexa devices. All you have to do is visit bloodhorse.com/daily. And we're back with Garrett O'Rourke from Judmont next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple Great Estates winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 3/4 length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins the Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Bloods sprinter Justin Phillip. Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Phillip is represented by exciting stakes-winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions.
Attending this year's Kentucky Derby? Experience the true difference at the official Derby Hotel of HRRN. Say hello to a brand new hotel experience from Hilton. That's vibrant, affordable, and young at heart. It's energetic, yet relaxing and comfortable. It's completely unprecedented. It's completely true. Enjoy modern amenities and quality comfort with guest rooms featuring a 55-inch flat-screen TV and 150 channels of DirecTV, along with a free breakfast, a state-of-the-art fitness center, and more. Discover affordability without compromise at Louisville's True by Hilton.
Adina Springs Stallion, Ghost Sapper, the consistently brilliant sire of 11% black type winners, including Breeders' Cup champion and Eclipse champion female sprinter, Judy the Beauty.
Judy the Beauty! Judy the Beauty! One and a head and I thrill it!
Santa Anita Handicap winner, Shaman Ghost.
It's Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile.
And Whitney Handicap hero, Moreno.
100 yards from home, and it's Moreno! Moreno to win the Whitney in a wire-to-wire score!
Ghost Sapper's 2019 stars include millionaire champion Holy Helena and unbeaten Guarana, the number one 3-year-old filly in North America.
Another impressive outing here. Guarana 2 for 2, and she's an Acorn winner.
Guarana has won the coaching club American Oaks over Point of Honor.
Consistently brilliant Ghost Sapper, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Hi, this is Penelope Miller, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
As they come to the top of the stretch, it is Arrowgate and Mike Smith. Oh, they've opened up a six-length lead here with 1 furlong to run. They've left the field reeling behind. American Freedom and Gunrunner are fired behind Arrowgate. What a commanding performance. He won the Travers by 12. Oh, what a race he ran today. American Freedom was second. Gunrunner was third. And Gifbox was fourth. In a final time of 1 minute 59.36 seconds, the fastest Travers ever and a new track record.
Welcome back. Mike Penn and Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Larry Colmus with the call back in 2016. Arrowgate just running a hole in the wind with that victory in the Travers Stakes. There have been a lot of really, really top horses to win the Travers over the years. None of them have been as fast as Arrowgate, who competed in those familiar Judmont colors. 159.36, the final running time for Arrowgate in 2016. And I have a feeling that Garrett O'Rourke from Judmont wouldn't mind seeing Tacitus kind of throw up a number like that later today. Garrett is with us now here on HRRN. Garrett, good morning.
Hey, good morning. That was a pretty exciting intro. And yeah, I don't think we could even be so greedy as to expect something of that caliber, but something somewhat close would be very, very welcome.
Yeah, how about 159.56? Will you take that?
I'll take anything under 2 minutes.
When you hear that call of Arrowgate and how impressive he was, what were some things that immediately came to your mind?
Well, I think, you know, obviously he ran quite a few great races, but that day was the day that answers to really as good as what he's showing in the morning. And if he's good, if he is that good, well, how good? And, you know, sometimes your first grade one win is a good performance, and then you get better, and you're still wondering, you know, well, how deep does it go? But he answered it all in one race. He didn't just go out and win. I mean, he broke one of the all-time track records, and that was it. It was, yeah, he still went on and proved greatness further afterwards. But how good he was, that was all answered in 159 that day.
Yeah, that was an amazing performance. I've seen 120,000 plus races live in my life, and I never saw a horse run like that. That is the ultimate race in my horse racing career that I've ever seen a horse run. It was just an out-of-body experience.
Yeah, I mean, you think to Secretariat, Belmont, and races like that where you're watching the race. I can think as well, luckily, at Judmont of Frankel's 2,000 guineas, where you think he's going too fast, what's he doing? And then all of a sudden you go, God, this is freaky. And they pull it off, and you're shaking your head in amazement because you've seen an athlete do something that you feel like shouldn't be possible, and yet they do it, you know, so... Yeah, it was very, very special.
Yeah, and I think you can make a case that his win in the Dubai World Cup was in a very similar fashion. To me, that was breathtaking and equally as impressive as what he did in the Travers, albeit in a little different fashion, Garrett.
Yes, and I think by the time we got to Dubai, there was expectation of brilliant. Now, that day, I mean, you expect a brilliant performance on a level playing field, and that day they took away the level playing field, and he still overcame, and I think that's what was especially about that day. But for pure coming out brilliance, yeah, the Travers is no equal.
Talk to us about what Arrowgate is up to now and the mares he's been able to get to him as a stallion and some of his babies.
Well, we were actually out on the farm the other day with Wayne Sweezy's with, and so the Arrogate out of Songbird and Plum Pretty, and that's the level of mare that he's breeding on outside mares. And, you know, on the farm we've got beautiful foals, half to lovely half brother to Close Hatches, the Peterson and Ad, I think in the TDN today, but they're out of Fall Silver Lining, and, you know, just exceptional mares, and they look like him and they walk like him, so who knows, in a few years' time, hopefully we'll be talking here about Arrogates in the Travers.
I saw that picture of Rod Stewart with his four wives today. I didn't know anybody had a better book of mares than Rod Stewart, but evidently Arrogates the one, huh?
That's a good analogy anyway.
Feel free to use it.
You'll be seeing Judmont running ads, right? Rod Stewart's four wives. All right.
Good idea. I'll pay you 5% for the idea.
Sounds good.
Garrett, let's focus on this year's Travers and Tacitus. I know Hall of Famer Bill Mott is excited to see him break through and pick up that elusive grade one that he's been so close to in the past. What are you seeing as an owner, as a manager? What are you seeing from Tacitus that leads you to believe today's the day?
You know, I mean, it's not so much that what I'm seeing that's a step forward is I'll be very disappointed if he has the bad luck that has prevented us from getting that extra couple of lengths that he's had in the last few races. But I think, you know, I just want him to have a clean trip this time. We know the type of horse that he is. And if you look at what Arrogate had and what, say, horses like Justify had, and I think Tacitus is that type of horse, they've got these magnificent strides, and they've got to be able to use them, you know. And, you know, Justify won a Triple Crown without ever having to get stopped once. I think Tacitus has to get a trip where he doesn't get stopped and able to use that stride all the way, and hopefully that happens today.
Yeah, he's been a little bit of a frustrating horse, but he's got so much talent, and I'd like to see him get the race that he deserves, because he's been right there in all the big ones. You really can't fault his form.
Yeah, he's, you know, his form line is not just talented, but it's tremendously consistent, and as we all see every year as the classics run through, and then you get on to Midsummer Derby time, an awful lot of horses have fallen by the wayside, and the attrition rate, as we all know, is pretty high. And the horses left standing are admirable for their durability as much as their talent. And but, you know, I think he's talented enough and durable enough that that he deserves a big one, and I hope that's this afternoon.
Garrett, he's going to wear blinkers for the first time today. Tell us about that decision and the conversation with Bill Mott taking place there.
Well, you know, Jose got off him the last time, and I'm sure out of frustration, oftentimes jockeys get off, and, you know, there are three or four things that they're going to tell you. The worst is try the grass, which means the horse isn't fast enough for the dirt. He didn't tell us that. And I think, you know, when you have bad luck and the horses stumble or they spook or whatever, I mean, they, you know, sometimes... you know, the first thing that a jockey goes to is try him in blinkers. I'm not sure Bill is absolutely convinced that it's a necessity, but he knows that it sure can't hurt. And I think if it just focuses him enough to get on out there and get to where he's running pretty smoothly and focused, I don't think it's something that he really needs down the stretch or anything like that. You know, I think he's, if they're going to help him, I would hope that we see that the help that they've given him by the first turn. Because if he's in good position and not as far off the pace as sometimes he has got stuck being, well, I think the blinkers have worked and helped.
Yeah, we're going to find out if that does the trick later this afternoon. 5:44 Eastern post time for the 150th running of the Travers Stakes. Garrett, it's a busy morning. We'll let you go, but really appreciate the visit. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We'll get that to you, and go enjoy your day.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck.
Take care.
All right, Garrett O'Rourke, Judmont Farms here on HRRN. Look, I mean, Tacitus, by all accounts, the horse to beat on paper. He's had some tough luck. He has to overcome that, as you heard Garrett talk about. You heard the Big A mention that. You heard Tim Wilkin talk about that. Well documented. He needs a clean trip later today, but the son of Tappet out of the mare Close Hatches, well-bred, well-suited for the mile-and-a-quarter Travers. Maybe today is the day. We'll find out. Coverage on the network, 3 to 6 Eastern with Anthony Stabile and Mike Beer, SiriusXM 156, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. We've got a couple of minutes very quickly before we get to our next commercial break, our final break of the program. Jude, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't hear from jockey Frankie Dettori, who was aboard Enable this past Thursday, who won the Yorkshire Oaks. It was her 10th consecutive Group 1 victory. She, of course, won the Breeders' Cup Turf here last year at Churchill Downs. Hopefully she makes a return trip to the United States to compete in that race again and defend her title. She is so, so good. And here's what Frankie had to say, very emotional, after the race.
It was more of joy and sadness because it's the last day we're going to see her in Europe, in England. And she's got tremendous turnout and she's put on an amazing performance. So win-win all round.
Because John said beforehand, if she broke well, she might,
I rode Lati Rai and I felt that Enable's got more gear than her, so I decided to make the run and I had the racing control, and I know how good she is, so when I pressed the button, she went.
You've ridden so many brilliant horses. What is it about this mare that particularly touches you?
Everything. Don't start me off.
Frankie Dettori. You know, he doesn't get emotional like that very often. He's ridden so many great horses, as you heard the interviewer say. And by the way, thanks to Racing TV for contributing that audio to the program here today. Jude, she is brilliant. That was her final race on her home soil. That's why it was so emotional. And the crowd, we heard from his racing manager in a different clip they sent me. We don't have time to play it. The crowd was just, you know, chanting, and it was electric at York.
Yeah, she's a mare that's captured a lot of people's hearts, and she runs so hard all the time, and she's relentless, and very classy about it. So, you know, she's got a lot of followers, a legion in Europe, and certainly plenty here in the United States. It was a race that a lot of people in racing were talking about. Many people watched it, as many as could, you know, watched it on television and on their computers. But just a tremendous race mare.
We are just 69 days, 3 hours, 42 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup at Santa Anita. Hopefully, Enabel will be there to defend that crown. Would love to see her. We'll be there as your official radio home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. We'll get to one final break. We'll come back and tell you what's ahead. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front is poised to skyrocket to national sire prominence with his first crop of two-year-olds in 2019. A multiple stakes winner at two, this talented son of Warfront went on to win her place in 12 graded stakes with lifetime earnings of more than $1 million. With an explosive turn of foot, Summer Front routinely recorded times of a mile and 33 in some of the best grade 1 mile races in the country and possesses everything it takes to be an important sire for years to come. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Power. Anchor Down has the lead as they turn for home. Anchor Down in front by three. Anchor Down has built a five-length lead with just a 16th to the finish. Anchor Down wins the Westchester.
Passion.
Anchor Down is still there coming to the 16th pull. Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Performance.
Gainesway Stallion Anchor Down, a son of three-time champion sire Tappet and a top miler who won the Grade 2 Kelso with a final time of 1:32 and 4/5, posting a 1:08 buyer speed figure. A half to Grade 1 winner Sweet Lulu. Anchor Down strongly resembles his sire and will be represented by his first crop of yearlings this year. Brilliantly fast, Anchor Down, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, this is jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love listening to my friends on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Welcome back. Mike Penn and Jude Fell getting ready to wrap up another edition of the Equine Forum. Our thanks to our special guest for making this show possible, the Big A, Anthony Stabile, Shug McGahey, who was with us in the first half of the program, Tim Wilkin from the Albany Times Union, and you just heard Garrett O'Rourke a short time ago from Judmont Farms. Our thanks to all of them. And again, they'll all receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. Told you about the Travers coverage coming up this afternoon right here on the network. Anthony and Mike Beer will have that coverage 3 to 6. Sirius XM 156 is your home for the coverage this afternoon. And you can also stream us worldwide, horseracingradio.net. Jude, you and I making our way to the Mid-Atlantic states next week, to Virginia and Colonial Downs, our first visit to Colonial Downs here on the network to bring listeners coverage of the Fasig Tipton Virginia Oaks and the Virginia Derby.
Yeah, looking forward to that. I've never been to Colonial Downs, so I get to check another track off my list.
I haven't either.
And, you know, when I ran Chestnut Farm for Michael House, he won the Virginia Derby with Battle of Hastings.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's right. So that's right.
We used to lay him up after those big races when he'd travel around the country, and always enjoyed that. So I'm looking forward to going to that race and seeing Jill Byrne.
Yeah, they say it's a fantastic racetrack. We'll have guests on this program next week talking about the Virginia Derby and Colonial Downs and the history of racing there in Virginia as we host this program live from Colonial Downs. Then we'll come back in the evening. That will be an evening broadcast with coverage of those races. Time still to be determined, but we do know it'll be on Sirius XM 156 next Saturday night.
Perfect.
Yep. A lot of things to get to here on the network as we make our way down the road to the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Your official radio network for the Breeders' Cup is the Horse Racing Radio Network. 69 days, 3 hours, and 37 minutes away. Our thanks to our producer, Lee Delapina, here in our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. To Chauncey for handling all of our social media for us. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you later today, 3 o'clock Eastern on the network. Go Steelers!
Good night, Barbados.